Good morning, friends. On this Trinity Sunday, the gospel reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning of verse 12. Hear the word of God. Jesus has gathered the disciples together there in the upper room. It's his last night with them before his crucifixion. He's sharing the innermost concerns of his heart with them. It's one last time before he's killed, before he's crucified, to have them confined, have their full attention. So what he has to say to them is of critical importance, and this section of John's Gospel is known as the Upper Room Discourses. It's there in the upper room where they had gathered to celebrate the Passover that Jesus shares these words. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the movie Missing, an American businessman, played by Jack Lemmon, believes our government is lying to him about the whereabouts of his son, who has gone missing during a revolution in South America. And Edward Horman, Lemmon, goes to find his son. While he's there, he needs to spend some time alone to gather his thoughts, and he goes to a nearby church. A functionary from the American embassy comes to collect him and finds him in the church's library reading the Bible. And he says to Lemmon, "What is your faith about?" And he says, "My faith is about the truth." Christianity is a faith about the truth, about the truth of Jesus Christ, that he has manifested the truth of God before us. Truth is not so much a system of theology, nor is it a philosophy. It is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. This has been the message of the church from the beginning. And, you know, but at this point, somebody might want to say to themselves, as Pilate said, you know, what is truth? Well, a Presbyterian document entitled A Declaration of Faith puts it like this. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. The Spirit adds no different word from God, but leads us deeper into the truth of God uttered in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth because he embodies the very truth of God. We Christians, we disciples of Jesus, believe that the very truth of God was made manifest in Jesus by what he said and by what he did. In his person, we receive the truth. And the issue for us today, and on Trinity Sunday, and really any day as Christians, is how can we go deeper and deeper into the truth of God found in Jesus? Well, Jesus said in our text this morning that the Holy Spirit will lead us. When he comes, the Holy Spirit of truth will guide you into the truth, or into himself. It is the role of the Holy Spirit in every time and age to guide Christians deeper and deeper into the truth of the faith. He does this in fresh and creative ways with every successive century and every successive generation. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And a woman I know of went to a dermatologist to have a mole removed, and while there, they got into a conversation about the physiology of the human skin. And the dermatologist told her that about every 10 years, he has to rethink his understanding of human skin because the information and the data is constantly changing. He said, you know, what we used to think a decade ago is almost passé now because we've discovered so many more things. And he said, you know, this is true with other fields of science as well. Scientists put the data together, they hold it together, they write a textbook, and new information is gathered, and the textbook has to be edited and updated over and over. This is the way it works in science. There's always new information coming forth. So we may be a little bit confused by what Jesus has to say to us when he says, you are not yet ready, you cannot now bear all that I have to tell you and all that I have to teach you. Maybe a little bit confusing because earlier in this section of the Upper Room Discourses, Jesus has said, I have made known to you everything that the Father has given me. I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father on the one hand, yet I still have many things to tell you on the other hand. How does that work? Can we harmonize that? Can we hold it together? Understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring us into the truth of God in Jesus. Well, think of it like this. A seed has much in common, yet a significant difference from the flower that blooms from the seed. Arithmetic has very much in common, yet significant difference from trigonometry that grows out of basic math. Touch football that the kids might play out here on the lawn has very much in common, yet is significantly different from the NFL football that's played at Raymond James Stadium across the bay. One grows out and expands and elaborates on the other. And there are centuries of, as we are discovering, centuries of cross-cultivation and fertilization of the gospel message as conditions change and becomes necessary for the gospel to bloom and to grow into something new and something relevant for our time and age. Well, the words that we heard read this morning from John's gospel were spoken around 30 AD. They were not written down until about 100 AD. But they were read, they were pondered, they were meditated on for several hundred years, until around 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea, when the church leaders had gathered there, and they put that together with a text that we heard Vicki read this morning and said, you know, we've come to understand through this time of the Holy Spirit working on our hearts and minds, reading the Gospels together, we've come to understand that God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God can be transcendent and above us, and at the very same moment can be next to us in the person of Jesus, and at the very same moment can come and enter into us through the Holy Spirit. But it took about 325 years from the time that Jesus first uttered those words until the church came to understand the truth of the gospel in the form of the Trinity. It's like arithmetic moving toward trigonometry. Jesus said he gave us fundamental, seminal principles of the gospel that over time the Holy Spirit would deepen and enrich in our hearts and minds and would help us to apply those truths in our time and place as we seek to live out our call to extend the kingdom of God as Jesus began it. And as it's gone all the way now into the 21st century. We ponder this, we work on this. Jesus said his teaching was incomplete because they could not yet bear it. Now, he didn't mean that they couldn't tolerate it, or if he told them the whole thing, they would just throw up their hands and say, we're not going to have anything to do with that. What he meant was they weren't yet ready to understand it and to get it. They had to experience his crucifixion and his resurrection and his ascension and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then they could bear it. Then they would get it. And as you read the Gospels, you see that after the resurrection, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they get it and they start to proclaim it. You know, think about everything that we've had to help us get it over the centuries. We've had the development of the church and the subsequent development of the Gospels and the epistles, the New Testament. We've had it come up through the great teachers of the church like Luther and Calvin and more recently Karl Barth in the last century. We have now jet planes to travel to Israel and to see the sites for ourselves. There's ongoing centuries work of archaeology. We have computers where we can put all this gospel messages together and cross-analyze and work it all together. The Holy Spirit has many tools now to work and use and to develop the gospel and our understanding of it. We are truly, truly blessed. What Jesus, I think, was saying here when he talked to these apostles about the Holy Spirit was that his truth would progress, his revelation would progress over time. Now, he was not saying his truth was relative, that is, what might be true for one religion isn't true for another. What he was saying was, over time, you will get a deeper and deeper grasp of what it is that I have to tell you. And it will become alive and more relevant for you year after year and decade after decade as times change. And he says the good news is that you are not left on your own, like blind people to stumble around in the dark. The Holy Spirit will be with you, leading you every step of the way. And the Spirit will come to us and come upon us when the time is right. St. Paul said to the early church, when time was full, or in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, meaning Jesus. What did Paul mean by that, the fullness of time, or when the time was ready? What he meant was, after the Romans had conquered the Mediterranean world, and there was the Pax Romana, and they had developed an elaborate system of roads throughout the Mediterranean region, and when the Greek, common Greek language had become the language for commerce in the Mediterranean area, then the time was right for Jesus to come, because once the Holy Spirit had come upon the apostles, there were roads, there was a common language, the time was ripe and ready for the gospel to spread throughout the Mediterranean world. And that's the way the Spirit works. When the time is right, he takes that moment to deepen our understanding of Jesus, to apply it in a new and exciting way. Think of it this way. When did the Reformation take place? When was the church reformed and our Protestant bodies come about? It took place when the printing press was developed. And after the printing press was developed, the scriptures could be mass-produced and be put into the hands of lay people. Then the time was ripe for the Spirit to move and reform the church. This is the way the Spirit works. This is true on a macro scale on world history, and it's true on a micro scale in people's lives, in our lives. The Spirit tends to move at the times that we're most open for the Spirit to come into us, times of great joy and great sadness, times at the birth of a child or a grandchild, times at the death of a loved one, at times when you might fail at a project, time when you're honored and promoted. These are the times in our lives when we are open and ripe for the movement of the Spirit. I remember an evening I was sitting in a restaurant in Nashville, North Carolina. I went up early. The meeting was early that night, and it took me an hour to get to Asheville, and the meeting was like at 6:30, so I just went up in time to go to a dinner at a restaurant, and I was reading a book written by a Presbyterian elder and someone who had worked for years for NPR. And the title of the book was this, Why Men Hate Going to Church. And I was reading the book, And my waiter came over to take my order, and I put the book down, and he glanced at the title, and I saw that he did kind of a double take. And he took my order and went off, and I got back in the book, and he came back over, and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "That book, is that title for real, or is that a joke?" And I said, no, it's for real. And he said, "Wow." He said, "You know, I've been having a difficult time in my life lately." Now, this guy was, I'm going to guess he was 35, 40. He said, "I've been having a difficult time in my life lately, but every day I walk from my apartment to this restaurant, and I go past a Lutheran church." He said, "Now, I was born and raised a Lutheran, but I haven't been in church for years." He said, "A couple of weeks ago, as I was walking past this Lutheran church, I thought to myself, you know, maybe it's time to go back to church." So I said, "Well, did you?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "How was it?" And he said, "It was okay." He said, "Those people really like Jesus." He said, "So do I." And that was the end of that part of the conversation. But, you know, if we had gone on a little further and if he had said to me, "You know, how can I get deeper and deeper into this Jesus?" I would say, "Position yourself so the Holy Spirit can work on you. Make sure you continue going back to worship. Find a Bible study to plug into, preferably one with maybe some people your age, and then pray. If you don't know what to pray, just take the Lord's Prayer and start with that. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit, because the time was right in his life for the Spirit to move and was already moving." That was the Spirit who spoke to him when he walked past that Lutheran church. And my final words to him were, "You better be careful. The Holy Spirit is messing with you." The truth that the Spirit leads us into is Jesus Christ. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here's how Presbyterian theologian and missionary Leslie Newbegin said it. "The Holy Spirit is the one who leads the church through all its encounters with new experiences, new cultures, new languages, and new forms of thought until the fullness of the truth is seen in Jesus. Until God's purpose for the whole creation is complete and all things are brought into unity with Jesus as their center. The true history of the church is the history of the Spirit's activity, leading the church through its successive encounters with all the ranges of human experience into the fullness of the truth." And this is the point. Year after year, as new tools unfold, as new opportunities open up, the Spirit is leading the church, leading you and me deeper and deeper into the truth of Jesus. Our call this morning is to be open, be responsive to the leading of that Spirit. A man was having breakfast in a restaurant on the Rocky Mountains, seated at a window where he could peer out and see the snow-capped glorious peaks of the Rocky Mountains, the lush green forest covering the hillside, the deep blue of the sky. And his waiter came over and he said, "You know, I don't think I've ever seen a more beautiful scene in all my life." And the waiter said, "It is beautiful, isn't it? But wait till you see it from the other side of the mountain." Jesus is saying, as beautiful as it all looks to you now, wait till the Holy Spirit takes you in deeper and deeper, and you see it from the other side of the mountain. Because as you get deeper into the truth that I have to give you, it becomes more beautiful. There's more goodness, and there's more truth yet to be held. Friends, people of God, open your hearts and minds to the Spirit. Go deeper and deeper into Jesus. Let the people of God say, Amen.